Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning.
All right, you are here. You are with us. We're going to start with a scripture reading, actually. So there's going to be some verses up on the screen in just a minute. Some verses up on the screen. There we go. There we go. So I am glad you guys are here today. Thanks for joining us this morning. I want us to think about this passage because this passage speaks to the first song we're going to sing. We're singing the song, "We're More Than Conquerors," but we need to think about what are we conquering? What do we have to conquer? What do we need to conquer? And this scripture tells us that. Here's what it says. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Who then shall we say, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what are we conquering? What do we have to conquer? That's a long passage, but it talked about things like trouble and hardship and persecution and death. It talked about things like life. Do we need to conquer life? Yeah, sometimes. Demons and angels, there's so many things that we need to conquer, but we have Christ. We are in Christ, and because of that position, we are secure. We are more than conquerors. So think about those truths as we sing this song. Rise to your feet, and if you don't know it, you can learn it. It's pretty easy to pick up. It's been a while since we sang it, but this is one from Ren Collective, and we are more than conquerors.
Soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns.
nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you.
Do us.
peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are.
Say that line again and again. You're a good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. We can say that an unlimited number of times, and we still need to hear it. And we still need to hear it again, because it still hasn't sunk fully in to us. God is still doing that. So let's pray. God, we bow before you. You are the good father. We don't understand your ways. We believe in our minds that you're perfect in all of them. And yet we still don't always understand. But God, we know you're good. We hold on to that. We cling to that. And that you've chosen us, that you love us. God, I pray that those truths will sink into us deeper and deeper and deeper. Because no matter what we're going through, we need that. And sometimes we're going through some pretty heavy stuff, and we really, really need that. So God, for everyone who's here today, I pray that these truths will sink into us. God, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Whatever hardship, difficulty, trial, trouble, spiritual warfare, pain, sickness, whatever battle is going on in us, God, you are there, and we can conquer through Christ. So God, be our strength today. Teach us from your word. Give us understanding from this old, old story from the Old Testament. God, encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to sing with you guys, as always. We're going to dismiss the kids, third grade and under, to Children's Church, and the question of the day is this. If you were offered the ability to know the future, would you accept it? If you could know the future, would you accept that gift and that ability? Share that with somebody near you. Kids, you guys can head downstairs, and then we'll gather back together in a minute. All righty, bring it in. We good? All right, before I jump into our message today, I have an announcement I want to make. I got a picture of a couple people on a tractor. Most of you probably don't even know who those people are. They are not farmers. You're not going to find a farmer getting their picture taken on a tractor. This is Pastor Mark and Kathy. They are the founding, he is the founding pastor and his wife of Cornerstone Community Church 25 years ago. So we are, I want you to save the date if you possibly can, October 8th, Sunday morning, and after the service we're having a meal. If you possibly can, save the date. That is our 25th anniversary celebration, and Mark and Kathy are going to be here. He was my mentor for years as I went through seminary, and they started this church. Some of us were here early on. Some of you have not been here nearly as long, and there's everywhere in between. But it's exciting that they are going to be able to come. He's going to speak in church that day, and it's going to be great to have them just celebrate what God has done over the last 25 years. So hopefully you can make it and be here for that. I just want to throw that out there and get you thinking about it. So question of the day, how did you respond? How many of you would like to know the future? Maybe to some degree, there are certain things about the future you kind of want to know. How many of you said no? Okay, mostly no's, a few yeses. The secondary question I think is this, do you think knowing the future would cause you to worry more or less? I think for me, it would be more. I'm pretty sure. It depends on what you know, right? Oh, I'm going to win the lottery. I'll worry about that, right? There are definitely things about the future that you would be excited about. But I think if I go back in my mind 25 years and think about the things that have happened between now and then, I don't think I want to know. Like, there are challenging things that come that I think I would worry more. Maybe you wouldn't. It's just helpful to know. I know it's coming. I know the day of my death, and I'm just going to be ready for it. Like, okay. Question of the day, the question that I titled this message is, who knows? Who knows? And hopefully this will make sense in a minute, but I want to share with you the story of Esther. You can open your Bible to Esther. It might take you 20 minutes to find it. It's kind of in the middle. It's, where is it? It's before you get to Job. It's just before Job and Psalms, if that's a hint for you. But this is the story of Esther. I'm going to tell you some of the story, and then we're going to read some of it, and then we're going to talk about it. And I think it's going to relate to our lives maybe more than you think. The story of Esther. Many years ago, during the time of Israel's exile, there was a very powerful king named Xerxes, or Artaxerxes, or Ahasuerus, depending on what language you spoke. King Xerxes ruled over a vast empire that stretched from Egypt to India. That's big, people. This is an empire. And his wife was the most beautiful woman in the land. King Xerxes wanted everyone to know just how rich and powerful he was, so he invited all the most important leaders and nobles in the empire to a festival in the capital city that lasted 6 months. Not days, not weeks, months. A 6-month party. Wrap your mind around that for a second. This was the most luxurious party you have ever seen. And at the end of the festival, he also hosted a 7-day banquet for everyone in the capital city of Susa. So there, even the poorest of the poor feel rich at this party. They ate like kings, they drank as much as they wanted, drinking from goblets of gold. the very last day of the party, when the king was full of wine, King Xerxes decided he wanted to show off his beautiful wife, Queen Vashti. So he sent for her. But she was at another party. She was hosting her own party for the women of the palace, and she refused to come. Not good. Not good. Nobody says no to the king, especially such a powerful king as Xerxes. So King Xerxes is so angry, he divorced Queen Vashti right there on the spot. He declared, "You will never again enter my presence." Kind of a rash decision. Probably shouldn't have done it, but he did. And once the king says something, he cannot take it back. Sometime later, the king decides it's time to find another wife. So a great search begins for the new, most charming, most beautiful woman in the land. Dozens of women are brought into the king's court, perhaps hundreds. And after an entire year of royal beauty treatments for each of these women, after they are taught exactly how to speak and behave in the king's presence, one by one, each woman would go before the king. Whichever woman was his favorite would become the new queen. Meanwhile, there's a man in Susa who was a Jew. His name is Mordecai. Mordecai had a cousin named Esther. Esther was an orphan, so her older cousin Mordecai is raising her. Now, Esther was beautiful. She was smart. She was funny. She had it all. So Mordecai had this sneaky feeling that she might be the one who's chosen. So before Esther is taken into the king's court for all these beauty treatments and royal training, which she was, Mordecai told her, "Do not reveal your identity. Nobody should know that you are a Jew." For some reason, Mordecai thought that would be important later. It just so happened, Esther was chosen. The king was more drawn to Esther than any of the others. So this Jewish orphan becomes the wife of the most powerful king in the world. Queen Esther kept in contact with her cousin, but still nobody knew that she was a Jew. Well, sometime after Esther was made queen, Mordecai just happened to overhear two men scheming a plot to kill her husband, the king. Mordecai tells the queen tells the king, and the two conspirators are hung for their crime against the king. After all this, another man rises to power in King Xerxes' kingdom. His name was Haman. Now, King Xerxes liked Haman so much, he made him second in command over the entire empire. He even demanded that the people bow to Haman just as they would bow to the king. Well, Haman loved the attention. He loved the power. But one day, an advisor tells him, "There's one man in the city who refuses to bow to you." Guess who? Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai insisted the only one he would bow to is the God of heaven. Well, this infuriated Haman. "How dare you defy me?" But because it was Mordecai's faith that kept him from bowing, Haman decided killing one Jew is not enough. I want to destroy them all. So he asked the king's permission to destroy this troublesome people, and the king ignorantly agrees, oblivious to the fact that he just signed the death warrant to his own wife. An edict is written, dispersed throughout the empire. On one specific day, several months in the future, all people will be encouraged to murder any Jew they can find. And the reward for killing, they can take all the property and belongings of any Jew that they kill. When the Jewish people, scattered throughout the empire, hear this terrible news, they are grieved, terrified, confused. What would they do? Is there a way out? Would any of them survive? When Esther's cousin Mordecai heard the decree, he immediately begins to publicly grieve and pray. He put on burlap, smeared ashes on his face, and begins to mourn and wail right in the middle of the city where as many people as possible will hear. Word quickly reached the queen that Mordecai is in distress, and she sent someone to find out what's going on. And at this point, Esther doesn't even know about the edict. She's not that close with her husband at the moment. She doesn't even know what he's doing. So Mordecai sends a message to the queen, including a copy of the edict, and asks her to beg the king for mercy, not only for Mordecai and Esther, but for all the Jewish people. Esther chapter 4, verse 9. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words are reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. In today's language, I just see them texting back and forth. But there's a courier to bring the text. He sent back this answer. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Who knows? Who knows? King Xerxes has not called for his wife in 30 days. Why not? Who knows? Esther has no idea if he will receive her if she approaches the throne. She certainly doesn't know how he's going to respond to this plea for mercy. King Xerxes doesn't know that he signed a death warrant for his own wife. He still doesn't know she's a Jew. Mordecai doesn't know how all this is going to turn out either. But he has confidence in one thing. God will deliver his people from this crisis. One way or another, God will rescue them. But out of all the characters in the story, none of them know what's really going on. Wouldn't it have been nice if Esther knew the future right about now? If she knew the king would receive her and grant her request, it would be very nice. But she had no idea. "Who knows," Mordecai said. "Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? Who knows?" There's only one who knew. Only one. Esther didn't know. Mordecai didn't know. Haman didn't know. Xerxes didn't know. But God knew. So because they didn't know, Esther, Mordecai, and then they called on all the Jews in Susa, they fasted for 3 days. No food or drink for 3 days. That's hard for me to comprehend, guys. 3 days of no food or drink. Why do they do this? Why are they fasting? For a Jewish person, a fast implies something. This is an intense time of prayer. Their focus is going to be so intently on seeking God, they're not even taking time to eat. And if you read the story, it does not specifically say they prayed during this time. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what they're doing. That's what they do when they fast. They're seeking the only one who knows. They are begging for mercy. They're pleading for deliverance, that the king would respond to Esther with favor. And after 3 days, with the possibility of death in front of her, Esther approaches the king, hoping and praying that he will extend his royal scepter to her and show her favor. But she didn't know. How many of you heard the story of Esther before? most of you know. You know. You can read how it ends, but for Esther, the story is still happening. And remember, the king had not called on her in 30 days. The honeymoon is over, my friends. He had most likely called on other women in his harem in between those days. So Esther may very well be wondering, does the king have a new favorite? She certainly has reason to fear Xerxes. If you know the past, he got rid of Vashti without much thought. Was Esther next on the chopping block? And she's supposed to approach the king? That's not the way things worked. But entrusting herself to one even more powerful, Esther agreed, I will approach the king. With the words of Mordecai ringing in her ear, who knows but that you've come to royal position for such a time as this, Esther decides, I will go to the king. Even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Can you feel the tension? Can you feel that? She didn't know what was going to happen when she approached the king, but she's going anyway. Sure would be nice to know, but she doesn't. Who knows? God knows. And for Esther, that has to be enough. I want to pause the story right there. There's another half that we will talk about next week. But now that you've put yourself in her place and felt the tension and anxiety of her situation, I want you to put yourself back in your place. What hard things are you facing that you don't know how they'll turn out? Think about that for a minute. Seriously. Don't just like wait for me to start talking again. I'm going to pause for a minute. What hard things? In your notes, we're in the application part one section. I'm preaching shorter today so you can think about this and process this. Think about one to three situations in your life that are significant and uncertain for you. Something you wish you knew how it would turn out, but don't. What's going on in your life that's creating stress or anxiety? It might be a problem, might be a conflict, might just be a circumstance of life. For real, think about it. Everybody's living in a different life. I'll be back. I think there's a can of pens over here, right? I want to make sure everybody has a chance to actually do something with this. So if you don't have a pen right now, you're not going to have to turn this in. This isn't some kind of assignment or quiz or test. This is just for you, okay? Who needs a pen? Anybody over on this side? Grab one for Mike, too. No promises it'll work, but it's a pen at least. Anybody else? All right. Just part one for now. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in a few minutes, but Alex and Corey are closing on their new house in Long Island tomorrow. There are a few things that they know. They know where they're going to live. They know where the kids are going to go to school, right? You know where the kids are going to go to school. Alex knows where he's going to work. But if you were to line up what they know next to what they don't know, pretty sure the list is longer of what they don't know, right? Will we like it here? Will the kids adjust well? What will the neighbors be like? Will Alex enjoy his job? Where will we go to church? Will we make friends easily? What does God have for us in this new place? How is God calling us to serve his kingdom here? Who knows the answers to all those questions? Only one. Hopefully I'm not stressing you out, Corey. Reminding you of all the things you don't know. Your situation is hopefully not that you're moving away. That's my hope. But you have unknowns in your world too. So what's coming to your mind? It feels significant. Causing stress and anxiety. Write something down. Because I do not believe that there's anyone here who doesn't have anything like that. I was working on this sermon on the Schuylkill River this week, off the bike trail in Hamburg, and as I'm writing at the riverbank, I start to hear a steady rumble of thunder in the distance. And it didn't feel like a very far distance. My bike and I are about 5 miles from the car, and a thunderstorm is coming. So I start to wrestle in my mind, what do I do right now? Do I pack up and get to the car as fast as I can? Do I wait it out? Will a storm even hit me? I didn't know. God knew. After a few minutes, thunder starts to rumble on both sides of me. Okay, this is fun. I'm still 5 miles away from the car. I decided I was really close to finishing up the first draft of this message. I'm going to finish this. So that my thinking is going, I'm just going to do it. I had a poncho just in case. 20 minutes later, I'm pretty much wrapping up my first draft and packing up for the ride back to the car. The storm never did hit me. It's rumbling on both sides. Never hit me. Even on the bike ride back, I did not get rained on at all. I got to the car and it started raining a little bit. Kutztown got dumped on a couple times that day. That was Tuesday. You told me. Rick was trying to do stuff and he couldn't get out of the house. Kept raining. That was a very, very small situation that I faced in the moment as I'm thinking about this. Didn't know what was going to happen. Got a quick answer. I have some other things going on in my life right now that do not have a quick answer. As do you. The truth is, there's a lot going on in my world. I have no idea how things are going to work out. And there are things with the church, things in counseling situations, stuff at home. And so, like, right now in my world, I am facing this steady pressure of anxiety because there's so much stuff that's unresolved that I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't do well with that. I don't like it when there's a lot of things that are important to me that I don't know what's going to happen. I don't like that. So I'm fighting more anxiety than usual right now. Just being honest with you. That's how it is in my world. Can you relate to that at all? Maybe you're not there at the moment. Maybe you are. We're all in different spots. But can you think of at least one thing for that first part? Give me a little slight nod if you can think of at least one thing. Some people don't want to nod at all. That's okay. All right. I hope that you're doing this. I know sometimes I give you things that you're like, okay, I'm just going to wait here until the next thing happens. I hope you're not doing that today. I know people do that. I know. Sometimes I read that into your eyes, and I could be wrong. Let's move on to the second part. This second part will make no sense at all unless you have something in the first part. Here's the second part. Considering each of the situations you did write down, ask these three questions. And this is something that basically as I was going through Esther during my devotions through the Old Testament journey. These are questions that I wrote down in my journal. Okay, here's a couple questions to think about. Number one, what might God be up to here? What might God be doing? Might. We don't know, right? But you want to think in terms of God's kingdom. What might God be doing in this situation that is stressing me out? Second question, how will I respond? You want to think both your attitudes and your actions. How am I thinking about it? What am I doing about it? What does God want me to do with this? I don't know. Because sometimes we have to do something even though we don't know. How am I going to respond? And number three, how could God use this to glorify himself? How could God use this thing that probably the thing you're writing down is something you maybe don't necessarily like. How could he use this to glorify himself? How might my story be part of the bigger story? And you're asking these might questions. You don't really know. But take a minute to think through those questions related to one of those things that you wrote down. I'm going to give you a little heads up right now. In a minute, I'm going to invite you to share something of what you're thinking about with somebody near you. Not with a large group of people, and I'm not going to force you, but I'm going to invite you to share something about what you're going through with somebody near you. Might be somebody you came with, maybe somebody different, but during our next steps, it's going to be a little different, not just thinking in your own head, but I'm going to invite you to share because it could be really helpful for you to get it out there, and it might actually help you connect with somebody in a way you wouldn't expect. So nothing is forced, only what you're ready to share, but I'm throwing that out there that hopefully there's something you would be willing to share about what you're facing. Why are we doing this? I believe if you actually take the time to do this application section and think about your own life, you may not get a clear answer from God about what is going on, what is going to happen, how it's all going to work out, but thinking through those questions will help you to look at it through God's filter. There's a different filter, and sometimes we forget. God is up to something, and you'll begin to see what God could do through it. And that can guide how you pray. It can give you hope. It can give you reason to persevere, to keep going. Because even though your situation will not become a Bible story, your story is part of God's story. And it's important to Him. And I'm going to say this, and half or more of you are not going to believe me. You're just not going to believe me. I understand that. But believe it or not, your story matters just as much to God as the stories we find in the Bible. Your story matters just as much to God as the stories we find in the Bible. And I'm okay with you not believing that right now. I want to challenge you to think about that. We're going to talk more about that next week when we finish Esther. But did you think of some things to put in your notes to start processing through? This is something that not just like, okay, nice sermon, right. No. You need to think about your life. Esther's story relates to us. Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? Who knows but that you have come to your position for such a time as this? What is God doing? Because God is always doing. So now I'm going to invite you to do what might be awkward and just put yourself out there maybe in a way that is a little outside of your comfort zone, but not so far out that you snap, okay? You don't have to tell the most personal, deeply painful thing in your heart right now, but if there's something that you're willing to share, something about what you're thinking about now, that you're willing to share with someone next to you, even if it's a spouse or someone you don't even know, for next steps, I want to take a couple minutes, share what you're willing to share, and then, no, this is going to make you crazy. I'm asking you to pray for each other. Can we do that in church? Can we pray for each other? So take a minute. Share the short version. Okay, this isn't the long version time. This isn't 45 minutes later. You're still here beginning to tell your story. A little bit about what you're dealing with. Pray for each other. I'm going to give you a little bit more than 1 minute to do that. Okay, can we do that? Can we do that? I see some nods. At least a few of you are willing. All right. Go for it. This is next steps time.
Mm-hmm.
to be moving towards prayer now. Finish up and be able to pray with each other. One-minute warning. Lord God, I just pray for each person in this room. It just blesses my heart to hear all the interactions going on across the room, throughout the room. Thank you, God, for the stories that are being shared and the lives that are being shared and the prayers that are being lifted up to you. God, it blesses my heart to see all of that happening, and I know you're working, God. So we ask you and we plead with you like Esther did, to please work in our situation. Show us what to do. You don't have to show us the future, but just what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to think about it? So for each situation that was written down, that's thought about, that's been considered, even those who are with us live stream, God, I pray for them too. God, their situations that are hard and uncertain. God, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you know what's happening. You know where it's going. God, help us to trust you more in those situations. In Jesus' name, amen. it did bless me for sure to see all the interactions going on. So thank you for doing that and being part of that. I hope it was good for you. We're going to have a time of prayer now. I asked Alex and Corey and Sophie and Rachel if they would come up at the end of our service, that we could pray for them. They're moving tomorrow. The girls are moving, I think, on Wednesday. Alex and Corey head for their closing tomorrow. So I asked Ed if he would come up and pray. And so we want to just take a minute to pray for them as they move on. So we can stand down here if that's okay. Here you go, Ed. Yeah, you can stand anywhere you want. So we're excited for you guys, and we're definitely going to miss you, that's for sure. But it's a good thing. God is working. You guys excited? It's kind of scary, a little bit. It's going to be good, though, because you got some good people with you. They're holding your hands right now. So let's take a minute to pray. Ed, would you start?
Let us pray.
Jake will turn it on.
God, we thank you for the blessing that you've given us during this time of knowing Alex, Corey, and their children. It has been a true blessing to have them in this church, and we thank you for that. We also ask you to be with them as they go through this move. We know that, Lord, you go before us, and that you clear the pathway, that you're the one we can rely on and rest in, help us through unknown times and unknown territories. And pray, Lord, that things will fall in place for them and that they'll find their home just as comfortable and warming and welcoming as the home they have now as they become accustomed to it in their new neighborhood and friends and such. And we ask you, Lord, to open up opportunities for service in your kingdom in their new community, that they may lead others to Christ if they don't know them, or just to serve the church that they attend. We thank you for these kinds of things, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. God, we want to pray for Alex and Corey, Sophie and Rachel. It was just a couple years ago, COVID hit, and they ended up moving here, which was exciting and surprising, and it's been so good. Thank you for their love for us, for their neighbors, for the way they've served this church family, and now you have another plan for them. And so, God, we pray that you'll bless that. Bless the people that they will meet through them. And, God, we pray for your purposes, your plan, that you'll use Alex and Corey in their new place, but not just them, but you'll use Sophie and Rachel, too. They're going to a new school, going to meet new people. And I pray that the light of Christ will just radiate from this family in this new place that they go. God, there are people that you want them to meet. There are people you want them to love and serve. Thank you for the way they've met and loved and served us. And I pray for them as they move to this new place. Thank you that you're going with them, that Dad and Mom are going with Sophie and Rachel. Give them comfort and courage in the changes coming up. And bless them in the new transition. I pray for the new school that the girls go to, that they'll have a good experience there. You'll give them good teachers that can understand them and serve them well and find a good church for them to connect with and that they'll have meaningful connections with neighbors and just surround them with good people and also surround them with people who need you. God, we know Long Island's a place with lots of people who many of them know you and many of them need you. So thank you for where you're sending them and that you have already gone ahead and will go behind and be with. So, Lord, bless them as they move on, and thank you how they've blessed us in the journey and their time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Many of you have heard the other surprising news that my family got. It was not very long after the announcement was made not very long after Corey and Alex are moving that we found out that my other sister's moving. My sister Becky is moving here. And as I thought about that, it just kind of blew me away as I think this move is probably the hardest for my mom. And she won't admit that, but she kind of loves her grandkids just a little bit. She would admit that. And it's hard to see them be farther away. But in God's mercy and kindness, all of a sudden my other sister's moving here and she's bringing two more grandkids. And I mean, it's not a trade, right? I mean, it's not a trade. But it is a kindness of God that I got another part of my family moving in. And that was a shock, very much of a shock. From Colorado to Kutztown, they like to mountain climb and ski and hike and mountain bike and everything mountain, and they're moving to Kutztown area. So we're excited about that. But as we wrap up the service, we have a song we want to end with here, and we're actually going to sing the doxology after that. But this is a song that reminds us that whatever battle we're facing, He's already in it. He's gone ahead. He's actually already won. You've already won. We've sung that a couple times. We're going to sing it again now. So keep your situation in mind as we finish our service with this song and then the doxology. You might want to, ooh, we're hot, okay. You might want to rise to your feet for this. Sing out to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Guides us through all challenges and will take us to the other side where we will be with you. God, thank you for our hope. Buoy us up, lift us up, lift up our eyes this week. God, give us strength in the challenges and hope for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Shannon?
So, P-Nate mentioned during the service that October 8th, I've mentioned this a couple times too, that we're having our 25th anniversary celebration, so we hope you can save that date so you can be here and join the party that is currently being planned. And if you have an interest in participating in the planning of said party, you can let P-Nate know. The first meeting is happening today, so it's not too late to jump in. And like P-Nate said, P-Mark and Kathy are coming, which I looked around the room, and I'm pretty sure it's just me and the Henches and you guys that would have any significant meaning to. But it'll be nice to have them share and hear some maybe history and a message from P-Nate, P-Mark. Also, just a reminder, home groups are on break for August, so whatever your regularly scheduled meeting was, that will not be happening in August. They'll start back up in September. And then we have Kutztown Day, which is arriving next Sunday. So there is a sign-up sheet on the information table in the back. If you are able to help out with a shift, that would be greatly appreciated. And Kutztown Day is just a fun day in the park. There's food vendors and local community institutions that come together to have stands and games and stuff to do. So it's a fun day. There's fireworks at the end of the day as well. One final kind of random announcement is next week, another church is going to start renting out this space on Sunday as well. Glory to Glory, they're currently just across the street up by Friend. They're going to be renting out this space after us. So just so that you're aware, if you start to see people trickling in, it's because they will be having church here starting at 11. So just something to be aware of. They're not like random people just coming in off the street. They're renting the space and intend to be here. So that's all I have for this week. And there's snacks and fellowship downstairs. Have a good one.